Hey, this is Carly Coma with Candiria, and you are listening to my chapter with As the Story Grows.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man, being realistic.
As the story grows.
You got this, Travis. Make him wait for it. Boom.
So Carly, I got to thank you for coming on, man. Welcome back to the next chapter of As a Story Grows. My name is Trav, and I am blessed to be talking to Mr. Carly Coma. Dude, I've been listening to you for 20 years. And
awesome.
Yeah, man, it has been a long time, and the universe tried to kill you and roll you up in a van.
Yeah.
and man, it's been a wild ride, but here we are. And you are fresh out the van, man. You just got back.
Yeah. We just did a small, a short run with Netherlands, great band from Brooklyn, and really, really digging their sound. And they matched well with the Candiria sound in regards to like a show.
Okay.
And it was a really short run. We're heading out to California in a few days to do some dates with Westfield Massacre, and then we're gonna take some time off and tour the entire summer with a festival, a big festival. We can't make the announcement just yet, not until okay. March, but should be pretty cool.
Cool. All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
I know you're hooking up with my boys Zayo out in Pittsburgh in February.
Yep. That's going to be another, that's going to be a great show.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Looking forward to it for sure.
Wish I could make it out there, but it was on a Thursday and I gotta work and I live 5 hours away. I don't think I want to make
yeah.
it.
You got two strikes against you, buddy.
So. Tell me about it. So I had an idea. Not going to kiss your ass or nothing, but I love the new album. I'm so happy to have you guys back, but I don't understand it. I'm confused okay. about your new record. So
okay.
I bought it. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I read through the lyrics and I need some mm-hmm. explanations. So I got
okay, no problem.
This idea of like, I think I'd like to do something similar, kind of like I did with the Zayo guys. I'd like to do something similar as like an album companion because
okay.
you guys came up, well, you, I guess, I heard you speak mm-hmm. about kind of approaching it like a screenwriter and you told the story on, mm-hmm. You told the story to Josh on Talk To Me. Great, great mm-hmm. episode with you. And he split it with Chuck from Testament. Dude, that's a nice. Great listen, man.
But yeah, awesome.
You explain a little bit about in the studio how you guys are just about at the end of your rope financially, and you were like, oh, we gotta finish these last, you can't just cut two songs. It's a concept album. It's not gonna make any sense, right?
Yeah, yeah exactly.
So
yeah.
that was a pretty cool story. And I won't make you repeat it or anything, but I wanna talk a little bit about your induction mm. coming up and that kind of thing. We can tiptoe through that real fast, but I want the main mm. focus to this to be
okay.
like, let's go track by track and rip this album apart.
Okay.
So,
okay,
you know,
let's
if you're
do
down,
it.
I don't want to keep you all night. So we're going to move.
I'm down. I know. Well, let's do it. Yeah.
So what's the deal? What was little Carly listening to? When did the bug bite you?
I started like my mother would always play Nat King Cole, or the radio, Gladys Knight and the Pips, like
okay.
on the radio, stuff like that. And then I remember hearing Michael Jackson Thriller, and I was freaked out, but at the same time I was sucked in, and I knew that I loved music, you know. So I
hear,
just always.
So I gotta ask you, did you yeah. hear Thriller, or did you see the video and have the piss scared out of you?
I saw the video first, got freaked out.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
There was a show. There was a show called Friday Night Videos. It used to come on Channel 4, like NBC in New York. And like they would always play like, I guess, all the top 10 videos. And when I saw Thriller, it just freaked me out, man. But I couldn't tear away from it because tear away from the TV set because it was just so amazing. Then finally got this Thriller vinyl and literally just could not stop playing it, you know. And that record just completely changed me, you know, just in terms, I knew right then that I was just completely in love with music.
Okay.
And then a couple years after that, you know, a few years after that, you know, I had Injustice for All, the first album I purchased with my own money.
Wow.
And knew that right away, like, okay, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Wow. That's a jump. How'd you get from Michael Jackson to Metallica?
When you love music, you love music. I mean, yeah. And it's that simple, right? And
yeah,
I remember when MTV was coming around, you know, we couldn't afford it at the time. But there was this show called U68 and I showed all, it was like a public access show, whatever. Right. And they would show, I think it was called the Power Hour, and they would show nothing but metal, you know, Maiden, Twisted Sister, Motley Crue, Wasp, Cinderella, Judas Priest. So at first I'm like, I'm not really into this, but it's music, so I was just glued to the TV.
Okay.
You know, and it was the only thing that is, I'm seeing music videos and like just getting into it. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll just watch this. And eventually I started getting it. Next thing you know, like, I love metal, still loving hip hop and all that stuff, still loving tunes on the radio. But there was something about listening to hard rock or metal that just really drew me in. You know, maybe the guitars of the intensity, who knows?
Yep, I know exactly what you mean.
Iron
Maiden bit. I got the Iron Maiden bug pretty early on too. I know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah.
And I was also listening to, going back to the Michael Jackson thing. You reminded me the first time I ever saw it. I was at a friend's house. Remember when it first came on? There was like this intro with like Michael Jackson wrote up this thing with like, I'm not affiliated with the occult.
Yeah.
Remember all that?
Mm-hmm. And I remember all that. Yep. I remember.
It was like 1983. So I was like 7 or 8. And I just remember being like, damn, what am I about to watch,
man? Exactly. it was intense. At that time, no one did that before. It's like a small movie.
Yeah.
You know, the dude was such an innovator, great talent. You know what I mean? And like, it's just, I remember him saying this one thing during an interview. He goes, let the song write itself. And it's something that I've carried into my life as a musician. You know, sometimes I try to force a song to go a certain way, but it's not fitting. Just let the song take over. Let the song write itself.
I like it.
I think it's a smart approach. Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to get moving here. So we got an entire Canderia career to talk about. You've talked about the accident 1,000 times.
John was on
the show a little while back too. He mentioned it too. They dug a rock out of his arm like 2 years later. It's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's nuts. Yeah,
just the fact that you're all still here is kind of statistically unbelievable. But here they are. And the reason that I brought you on is because you guys just put a full length album out on Metal Blade called While They Were Sleeping, and it's speaking of kind of got like the creepy vibe to it. There's something going on. There's an underlying story to this record. It's literally a concept album, which I feel is kind of, it can be done very, very wrong and cheesy. And some of it like coming through that, mid to late 80s stuff and everything. Some of that conceptual stuff was a little corny, you know?
Yeah.
But here we go. You got the floor, man. Why don't you give us if you approach this, you said like a screenwriter. So why don't you give me the 30-second trailer of me trying to come to the movie? Like, explain the overall of what this album is about.
Okay. Well, basically, and I try to keep it as simple as possible, it's about a rejected drug addict, failed musician who rises up against a New York City monarchy. And basically someone sets up this guy, this character, sets up his throne on top of the Empire State Building and uses social media and smartphones and iPads to brainwash all of New York. and New York is enslaved, and it's a world where your status is the law. And so now she has to, here's this person who was a rock star, so to speak, fell from grace, whatever the case may be. Now she's found a new purpose in her life. Now she's rising up and leading a group of people in New York against this guy, this new king of New York.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
updating social media status is not officially, it's not officially the law yet, but we're all doing it. I mean, we're practically there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Especially with the turn of events last Friday. Dude.
Oh yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. All right, man, you got the floor. While They Were Sleeping, track one.
Track one pretty much starts off with the arch nemesis, so to speak, and he's pretty much he's getting ready to lead his people to pretty much storm City Hall and take over, and pretty much setting the virus up to help to start the brainwashing revolution, so to speak, right?
Okay.
And this takes place the night before everything goes down. So he's leading them, and they're pretty much saying that they're willing to do anything for him. And he's going through the steps. This is what we need to do. We need to destroy their documents, pervert their ways, use vanity to numb pain. Pretty much saying use social media, use everyone taking their selfies to numb whatever pain they're going through. So there is some truth to it, so to speak, right? So kind of had to throw that in there. But he's looking at the vulnerabilities of, let's say, the people that he wants to go against, in this world, in this city, in this version of New York, so to speak, and wants to use it against them, use the thing that they're addicted to, the thing that is most convenient to, he wants to use that to brainwash them and set up a throne on top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah. Dude, I don't think you're far off, frankly.
It's kind of funny.
Right, right. Wow, that's interesting. Where did you... I don't want to stop you between every single song, but I mean, seriously,
you can,
where the hell did you have one of these like weird, like, did you have like a flu dream and wake up with this thing or something? Or like,
no, well, basically we wrote, a couple years ago, the guys wrote this song, and, they would always ask me to come down and like, you know, record a song. And I told them I personally wasn't interested. You know, it's kind of done with the whole band thing. Finally, they got to me. They're like, I'm like, all right, let me see if I still got it, so to speak, right? So I wrote the song. It's called With Broken Bones. And it's about this person just rising up and willing to die for what they believe in, you know? Mm-hmm. And so so when we were done with that song, this is before we were offered a deal, offered to work with management or whatever. This is before all that, but when the deal with Metal Blade came on the table, I said, you know what, let me write a concept record, and I'll build it around that one song, With Broken Bones.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and so here we are, we're discussing it, we're pretty excited about it, and as we're looking at the skyline and all the lights in Manhattan, I pictured a big light coming from top of the Empire State Building, brainwashing everyone with a huge siren. So the story started to take place there. I'm like, huh, that would be interesting. And I was writing a song with John, The Whole World Will Burn. And I remember leaving his house, you know, we were doing pre-production. I remember walking down to the train platform, and I counted 9 people. Each and every single one of them were on their phones looking down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And I knew that what was funny was I couldn't wait to get to the end of the platform so I could do the same thing. So I'm like, okay, apparently we're addicted to our phones. Right? So I just started looking at all these things, some of the things that my friends were going through, things in my personal life, and I was getting inspired by everything. So I just picked apart certain aspects of my life, certain aspects of my friend's life, what was going on in the media, what was going on in the world, and I created a story from there.
Incredible. All right. Ready? Track two?
Okay. A beautiful day, desperate to find what dreams are made of. Yeah, track two is Maria, and she's the protagonist in the story. Okay. It introduces her, and this, while this pretty much takes place the same day that this dark figure's kind of riling up his minions, so to speak, right? And she's having a conversation with her mother, you know, just pretty much thinking she wants the good life, you know. She's on her way to being a huge, like, rock star. And, like, you know, we hint at the fact that she's dabbling with chemicals, drugs, or whatnot, and pretty much just completely self-absorbed. And her mother, who's like the moral figure, saying, like, you know, what are you doing? You know, there's more to life than the things that you're chasing, right? Because she sees her daughter going down a destructive path. So here you have this external story where things are about to get real dark, but also I have this subplot where there's this struggle between mother and daughter, family, so to speak, right? Mm. So I include that in there because growing up, we all had issues with our parents. So sure. I wanted to put something in there that everyone for the most part could relate to. And that's where it did to our phones and growing up or whatever, our parents, you know? And some of us, we chase after our dreams no matter what the cost is, right? So I want to put that in there. And so in the song, she's talking about, you know, she just wants it all. Mother's warning her. And towards the end, the mother's kind of like in the air, pretty much. Something's coming. I go, and you need to prepare yourself because it's like a perfect example. If you look at the turn of events, whether you're for it, the turn of events that's been happening the last couple of weeks, right? Whether you're for it or not, I think everyone gets a sense that something is in the air. Like, you know what I mean? Like something's happening that we haven't seen before.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny that this record came out and all this is happening now, right? So that's what the mother is warning Maria about. The mother's name is Lucinda.
Okay.
And then the song ends with Maria saying she doesn't care. You know, she pretty much wants what she wants. Very selfish. I want it all. You can't tell me anything.
Right.
Type of stuff. Yeah.
Sounds familiar. We were all about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
were your parents telling you, but you better have a back burner plan, Carly? Like,
yeah, my mom did, but here's where that part came from, you know, because musicians, we tend to be selfish, especially if we, you know, we have aspirations of doing this as a living. Sure. I remember being 17 years old, 17, 18 years old, whatever. Me and my sister and I, we were walking down Church Avenue in Brooklyn. And I was just so into the band that I cared about, blah, blah, blah. And she said, you know what, Carly? I said, yeah. She goes, I have a feeling that if you had the choice between your band or your family, you would pick your band. I looked at it. I'm like, yeah, that's how, of course, I'm not like that now. I'm a grown man. You know what I mean? In reality,
right.
Funny, right? But when I was young, I'm like, yeah, it was that, and it didn't matter. So I kind of pulled from that naive point in my life, whatever, and through that and made that a character trait in with Maria.
Mm, interesting. Yeah. That there's a little bit of you in her, in this character.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, there's a little bit of me. It's There's a little bit of a lot. Like I took that character and I pulled in people that I've seen on rock stars of old. Me, a couple of my friends who struggled with drugs. I've added to that character. So this character is like just a multitude of people in one.
Got it. Number three, Wandering Light. You guys, there's a live studio video of this. You guys did the GoPro mounted to the guitar thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was cool, man. I was having problems hearing myself, so I had to wear earplugs. But it was super, super cool. Super mm-hmm. cool. My throat was ripped to shreds by the end of it because we had to probably do like five takes of each song. And when you can't hear yourself, your throat just turns to like a box right. of razor blades. You know what I mean?
You're actually screaming along as opposed to just lip syncing, because you can't lip sync with this stuff.
No. Yeah, no. That's the actual song. We're actually performing the song. That's an actual performance of the song. So,
but so you couldn't hear yourself. I'm sorry. All right.
No, I couldn't hear myself with my mic. Like I could barely hear
myself. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. The volume was it was just so low. Yeah, I wasn't lip syncing at all. Yeah, that was full band performance. Yep.
All right. Wandering Light. Tell me about Wandering Light.
Okay. Well, Wandering Light is when everything hits the fan. Where Lucinda, the mother, wakes up to a siren blaring. She lives in the Lower East Side or whatever.
Okay.
And a light just comes through her window. And like the sound is so powerful that the windows shatter.
Okay.
And what I wanted to capture was the way we felt when 9/11 happened.
Mm.
Like yeah, so that's what I tried to capture in this one particular song: the terror, the shock, the awe. Like you knew that something is happening now that has never happened before, and you knew at that moment your life would never be the same,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's what's happening. And she's waking up. Like, what is going on? At the end of the first verse, she's concerned about her children. She's concerned about Maria and her son Yuel. Right. And so just really, really concerned. And then so what happens is she calls her son Yuel. Right? Obviously, she called him first. So now what you're noticing is a little bit of favoritism. She called him first over. Even though she's a moral figure, she's not perfect. So right. So she called him first to see how he's doing. And she's telling him, Yuel, there's something in the air. A wave of people scattering, at once they stop to stare at their phones at the height of the Empire State. They're blindly typing on their phones, no expressions on their face, vacantly repeating tones, their pupils have been erased. Mm. So what's happening now, New York is starting to get brainwashed, right? Apparently it's not working on everyone because Lucinda, Maria's mother, is fine. Right, and it gets to the clean part of the track, and Yuel answers, letting her know that it's like, slow down, like what's going on. And as he starts to speak, she realizes that her son is under the spell, is being brainwashed.
Oh, okay.
Right, so he starts to, mother, please slow down. I'm half asleep in bed. Good morning and hello. You say the streets are paved with silent screams of red, a fear is taken hold. Mother, speak a little louder for me. The siren calls my name. If you could only see the colors I see, you'd follow just the same.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, she realizes that her son is brainwashed, right? So then it gets to the last part where she's screaming, Yuel, this, wake up, right? Wake up, you're not yourself. Something has arisen, has trapped you in hell. You must resist. So she's telling her son to resist, right? To like fight what's happened to him right now. And at the end, so all this is this terrifying thing. Like, wow, here's this, New York is this thing is this siren, this light is just changing people. And now she finds out that her son is under the spell. So she's completely terrified. She loves her son, obviously. And at the end of it, she says, all right, I'm going to fight this. Like, who's waging war against what I hold dear? So, you know what I mean? So now she's like, something triggered inside of her, like, not on my watch type of thing.
Right.
Like, you can do what you want. You touch my children. Now there's something happening.
Right.
And so that's how that song ends, saying that we're gonna tear the lights down. Whatever this is, we're going to bring it down.
Okay.
And this is the mother saying this. We'll turn the lights down. We'll shut them down. We'll turn the lights down. We'll shut them down. We'll turn the lights down. And there's a little bit of my mother in that character. She, you know, I grew up in a single family home, and okay. My mother was super, super tough. And like, so she would defend us and like bravely, almost to like the, you could tell it would be like to the point of death if she had to. So I kind of thought about some of those memories where my mother had to stick up for me, whatever the case may be. And she was just very, very, very strong.
Sure.
So I wanted to just bring some of my mom in that character.
Oh, uh-huh, that's cool. This is kind of a nod to Carly's mom a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Was she calling out, are you in the UL character at all? Like a little bit, or were you the little bit of a brainwashed, like going back to that 18-year-old that cared more about band than family? Is that a little touch of that?
That character is, I just needed, you'll see why. I'm trying not to give anything away, but I just, you know, there's a reason why I created that character, and once we get to the end of the song, like at the end of the record, you'll get it more.
Got it.
Something to just help balance the story out a little bit.
Okay.
You know, help balance the story out, and just to create some tension, you know, and just also just to show that once again, like the mother, as cool as she is, and as so she's not perfect, you know. She has some favoritism towards her son, her who's younger than Maria.
Mm-hmm. Number four, The Cause.
Okay, well, The Cause, that's pretty much when the mother, Lucinda, starts to lead a revolution. And she's like, all right, we're going to fight this thing. And these band of people, they're called The Cause, right? And so she's just, you know, like, this is what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the world has fallen apart. Pretty much it's up to us. And in there, a little line, just so I want to just go hint at, once again, that favoritism. She says, you well, why can't you be like your brother? Okay, so it's like little things like that, because I just want to show the family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But this song is mostly, okay, let's rise up. We have to form together and bring down this, whoever this is, who's destroying our city.
What does the line "grab your weapons wholesale" mean?
Oh, look, grab your weapons wholesale! Warfare is among us. That's the line. Grab your weapons wholesale! Warfare, like that means like it is. There's no one safe. This is coming after everyone. Grab your weapons wholesale! Warfare is among us.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
Grab your weapons. Period. Wholesale warfare. Yeah. Is, okay. All right. Got it. That's interesting. Maria, why can't you be like Maria? Why can't you be like your brother? Like, there's still this mom tension in the middle of all this. It's pretty funny. Not she funny, but
interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But that's what would make this a solid screenplay is
you got to get the
feels in there, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is, I read this book, a story by Robert McKee, and I did research on just how to, just, you know, the fundamentals of writing a good screenplay. So I applied it to this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn how to develop a character, like all that stuff, and to have a cool ending, you know, that wasn't cliche.
Right. No Hollywood ending? Ugh.
No, I can't do that thing.
Number five, Forgotten.
Forgotten is when that everything's ripped from Maria. This, because of what's happening in this world in that she's living in, all the things that she chased after means nothing. And what I wanted to kind of just hint at, I was inspired by, is when what happened with Nazi Germany. How everyone was just like living their lives, everyone's fine, and then one day your businesses, everything was just taken away from you. The life that you had, whether you're a musician, a business open, business owner, whatever, all that was ripped away from you. You belong to the state. Right? So everything, nothing is yours anymore. Whatever career that you're going after, it means nothing. So here she is with this thing that she chased after all her life, and it's over. So because of that, and because of her addiction to drugs, she wants to off herself. You know, she wants to, and so I hint at the fact that she just wants to overdose with, you know, needles and stuff like that. And her brother, what was one line? She goes, "I'll spread my rusty needles dripping everywhere. The ghost at the scene of the crime. And like, no need to call to say goodbye when no one cares. I'll say a prayer one last time." So she's about to off herself via overdose. And I use a metaphor to explain the story, because I didn't want to just be that plainly obvious. That's a little boring to me. I couldn't do that, right? So I'll spread my rusty needles, you know, I mean, dripping everywhere. And like the ghost at the scene of the crime, because each needle symbolizes a form of death, or like the ghost of who she was, so to speak, right? The ghost at the scene of the crime. And so her brother calls or knocks at the death. Yeah, I think he's calling, whatever, seeing if she's there. Like saying that he missed her voice. Like, where are you? Because he looks up to his sister, right? And, you know, she's the rock star, so to speak, right? And and in the bridge, he walks into the apartment and see her just overdosing. So they're just screaming, like, "Get help. Don't let her die on me." And he says, "Don't you die on me." You know,
right.
And so then it goes to the chorus. So that's the where the chorus happens in that song is pretty much the one time where the narrator kind of interjects a little bit. He brings himself into the story for the broken, the forgotten. You were meant for more than you know, and that's pretty much. I've been to a lot of funerals. I know a lot of people who just like. A friend recently just overdosed, right? And some people who died from drinking, driving, like all that stuff. So I just wanted to kind of just like bring that in the story a bit, where it's like, all right, well, this means something to me because I'm kind of sick of going to funerals, to be honest with you, right? So that was just my way of kind of saying, like, hey, listen, if you're struggling with anything, you know, type of thing, and people might think it's cheesy, but I don't care. I'm the one that lost good friends because of it, so I don't mind being cheesy, you know. So it's
not
like,
cheesy. Anthemic. It's we were meant for more.
Yeah,
we were meant for more than you know. In our failures, we find answers. You'll never walk it alone. And then for the broken, the forgotten. For the broken, the forgotten. For the broken, the forgotten. Over and over again. It's kind of driving the point home a little bit, like at the end, now that people have this direction, you've given them a little bit of a rudder as to where you were going with it. Maybe now this song will resonate with someone who passed, you know?
Well, actually, I was interviewed by this guy, and he just told me, because that song has helped them out so much. You know, I look at it as like a songwriter. You know, it's our job. I know for the most part, you know, sometimes, you know, we love writing about sometimes, again, because the world could be dark sometimes. So sometimes we'll get inspired by something and we'll write something. Sometimes we'll write things just for the sake of being dark or whatever the case may be, right?
Right.
But I think it's our responsibility just to kind of do our part, so to speak, you know? And like I said, because of my experiences, I know that songs help, right? So yeah. It's like, and then that's a lot of times we had the song called Remove Yourself, and so many people came up to me saying this song got me off of heroin. People saying that, you know, they had like AIDS and it's helping them get through it or whatever. So songs are powerful, man. You know,
I love that song.
Yeah, thank you. And so one of those things, like, I don't take that for granted. I know how powerful a good song is.
Yeah, and damn the people who say it's cheesy or yeah. I don't like it. I don't like when they use clean vocals or shut up, dude.
Yeah, this is I could care less. You know, it's my
yeah,
band.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. You can listen to something else if you want. You know, and it's not exactly. Just me. I'm just. It's not me being a jerk. It's like, all right, well, now that we've settled.
No, I look at it as like. I look at it as like, speaking of cheesy, I look at it as like when you're building something, like you reach into the toolbox. I need this to do that. I need this to do
exactly.
That. You got to use once in a while. There's a Candiria song that just needs to grab you by the throat and not let go. And then there's other ones that have to do a little bit more ducking and weaving around some emotion and stuff. And I mean, everything you guys went through since 2002 and John spoke and I thank him for doing it. He spoke in great detail about his drug addiction how he kind of had to be on it because of his situation. Yeah. And then it was like, well, we got you now. You're on your own later. Leia, good luck, dummy. Yep. Yeah. That kind of attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to like,
well, I'll see you, buddy.
Yeah. And you got to like find your way back now and everything. It's downright scary, man. Yeah. And, I mean, now that we're older, I mean, when you're a kid, it's easy to write that stuff off. But now that you're older, we are accumulating lists of people that we've lost, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Enough of that before you make me all. number six, one of you will betray me.
Okay, so
shit kind of gets crazy now, right?
It's starting to get crazy.
Yeah.
So basically, someone from the cause, right, from the group that started, you know, the revolution, so to speak, the revolutionaries, has gone to Empire State Building and approached the king of New York, the tyrant of New York, and basically saying, listen. I will betray the cause. You know, I want to be a part of what you're doing, and I've been waiting all my life for you, type of thing. Right? This guy's like a complete fanboy. You know what I mean? Of this guy, this dude, right? And like so, starts to hatch a plan with the king, and but the king says, and you pretty much. You know, you're a weasel. I don't trust you, but what can you do for me? But let's, you know, I'm simplifying it right now.
Sure.
Let's make this happen. And then he goes, and I use the word friend in there, like the friend of Lucinda, friend of Maria's mother. But he's saying like, I will give you everything. I will give you what you ask of me, the one who leads the cause. The cause, not afraid of anything, the measure of a man will rise above it all. Mm-hmm. Now, what that says right there is this person thinks he's doing a good thing. You see? Because bad guys, if you look at some of the great actors who play bad guys, they don't play the bad guys because they play them a guy who's like, all right, no, I think what I'm doing is right. I don't think I'm bad at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
I forgot his name in this old Western, let's say the good, good, the bad, and the ugly. Clint Eastwood was the good guy. And Yeah, but James Van Cleef, I forgot the bad guy's name.
Oh, I don't know.
I forgot his name, but he said I played him like a guy who, I didn't play him like a bad guy. I played him like a guy who thought he was doing something
right.
Yeah. I mean, Hitler thought he was doing something right.
Dude,
right?
Yeah. So he's striking a chord with me because have you noticed this whole social media thing? Did you ever realize every single person is right?
Yeah, exactly.
Every single person. Yeah. Even that dumbass that just got punched in the head.
Everyone thinks they're right.
In his mind, he's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's how do you have conversations with people until we're willing to admit that we're wrong and we don't know stuff?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And it's like even if you are right, you have to kind of like, all right, man, like I know I'm not getting to you right now. You can't flip out on someone for that, right? It's like, all right, dude, we're still cool, right?
Yeah.
I personally don't like to do that. You have to meet people where they are,
sure,
and be patient with them, right? But this character, he goes, this person who's betraying the cause, betraying his people, to move up this new social ladder, so to speak, thinks he's doing something right. So at the end of the song, they're like, all right, you know, like let's do it, you know, let's go at them. And in the bridge, I think towards that, I'm calling it a bridge, but the clean part, you hear Maria talking to her mom, saying, "Hey, remember when Yuel was young?" And she goes, "I knew you loved him more because the smile on your face, something like that." So Maria noticed that the mother always favored her son Yuel.
Hmm.
And I put that towards the end of the song just to kind of once again bring in, kind of tie everything together, and let you know that there's two or three stories going on in one. That's how life is, right? You know,
sure.
Like, you know, you wake up, you're home, then you go to work, then you meet with your friends. Like you're the same person, but like there are different stages of your life that are happening throughout the day. So and that's real. That's being real. I want to make this as realistic as possible, even though it's kind of like a sci-fi story, right?
Right. Spinning one plate is easy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nobody wants to watch you until you're doing 50.
so that's how, so at the end of that, at the end of the song, someone comes to arrest like, the monarchy, you know, the soldiers from the, you know, this monarchy, they come to arrest Lucinda and pretty much start, letting her know she has rights and let her know that, listen, if you are found guilty, you will be burned.
Burned. Yeah.
So that's how that sounds.
Whew, that got dark.
Yeah. Well, it's realistic, right?
There are, right? It has happened in the past. And there
exactly.
There will be penalties for going against the mob, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Number 7 will pick.
The eye of a lion, this New Year's Eve.
Opaque is takes place where Lucinda is the mother, Maria's mom. I have to keep repeating that just make sure that people know who she is. It takes place on New Year's Eve. I didn't mention the exact year because I wanted the story to remain timeless. So I did say that New Year's Eve, and she's tied to the New Year's Eve ball, right? And this king, Times Square is completely packed. This king is making everyone in Lucinda tied to the ball, and her, Maria and Yuel are there watching from down. And as he's kind of letting her know, like, I know you're lying to me. I know that there's more, you know, there's more to your plan, whatever, that you're not telling me. But he said, well, tonight you're gonna burn. So by the and Lucinda's like, well, you can try to kill me, but my voice will carry on, type of thing, right? So the second verse is when the fire is set. And you know how New Year's Eve the ball goes down and they're like, Happy New Year?
Yeah.
This is happening in reverse, where the ball, this fear is going up, and Maria's chained to it, tied to it, and being set on fire. But as she's on fire and it's raising up, she's defiant. right? And she's just inspiring, trying to inspire her daughter, her son, and the members of the cause who are secretly in the crowd, and basically saying, you can kill me, but like my voice will carry on and they will continue to fight even though I'm dying. So it's an epic death. It's a glorious death.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put that in there because sometimes people die for what they believe in, right? So I put that in, and that is there's something about death that that changes us, and like you either crawl in the corner, go in the corner, and crawl up in a ball and cry and stay there forever, or you get up and it'll be your motivator. You know what I mean? And so depending on the situation. And so I wanted to capture that, you know, like I said, wholesale warfare is going on right now.
Right.
And so so the song ends with the mother saying, my voice will carry on for those of us left fighting. And being burnt to a crisp on New Year's Eve.
On the New Year's Eve ball.
Yeah. And the ball going up, as the ball's going up, she's the fire's getting stronger.
That's interesting symbolism. Wow.
Yeah.
That got sad. Poor Lucinda.
Well, you know, there has to be, you know, because like I said, I had to put that in there. You know what I mean? I just wanted something to, I think I've spoken to a lot of people and like it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like, who doesn't like, for the most part, like everyone, of course, everyone loves that, but who doesn't love, you know, their mom for the most part? Like there's something about a mom that's awesome, right? And like, like I said, you know, I there's a piece of my mom in that character, and some of the things she had to sacrifice just so that I could have a better life. She had to die to herself to get her dreams or whatever, but had to make sure that I was okay. So there was definitely some symbolism there. You know, like I couldn't accomplish what I wanted, like she's saying, the things she wanted to accomplish in my life, but maybe you can. You know, and I'll make these sacrifices for you.
Let me ask you. Yeah. Is your mom still with us?
Yeah, she is.
What did she think? What did she think? I mean, I'm sure at one point you kind of sort of explaining a little bit about what you're doing for a living here. What did she think?
Mm-hmm. She at first she was like, "Dude, go get a job." You know, but I was 16. My grandmother was very supportive. But but like it's just one of those things. But now that she just knows I'm a little crazy, I'm like the class clown, like in the family, and I'm always just trying to make a laugh at like any cost like possible. And I do that with my band members, I do that with my friends or whatever.
Right.
I just love joking around, but of course, when it's time to get serious, I'll be serious, and 5 minutes later, I'll crack a joke. So it's
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I can't handle serious. It starts to itch, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, exactly. I mean, like if you like, does your mom realize there's so much of her tied into Lucinda?
I know. She's old. You know, she's a lot older. You know what I mean? So it's now it's just
beyond
like,
her. Okay.
It's beyond her. Yeah, it's beyond her, and she's just happy just to see me. And like, you know, she's like she's 74. So at that age, you kind of, you know, just being realistic, you kind of know that your time is limited, type of thing. So she's not even thinking about that. It's just, hey, are we hanging out? I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Gotcha. You know? Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. That's neat. Number 8, The World Will Burn.
Okay, the whole world will burn. All right. Okay.
The whole world will burn. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is when Maria is transformed. Okay. This would because of her mother's death, she's transformed. Now she takes up mantle. All right. She's like, you know, she talks about how she can, as she's still doing drugs, like how she can hear her mother's voice, and it's bringing, she feels ashamed. Like I should be doing more with my life. You know what I mean? And like, so first one, she's just like, all I am is broken. The death of a mom broke her. This life has left its stain. My scars were meant for something more than what I became. Meaning like all the stuff that she's been through, it's for a reason. It's to kind of shape and form her into something stronger. Mm. You know, all the trials that we go through in our life, like they're there to like, just, you know, just to make us stronger. You know what I mean? It's like, and if we don't realize that, then we end up becoming defined by our circumstances.
Right.
Right. And so, so what's starting to happen is Maria's just starting to come of age, and like, and she realizes like, all right, this, it is going down now. Like, it is time to like really step this thing up a notch. And like, by the second verse, she becomes this warrior. You know what I mean? And that's why the first line of the second verse, now reborn in power, I shed my skin for war, meaning who I was is gone.
Right.
Who I was is dead. This selfish thing of me, all the things about me that weren't good, like that is gone. I am reborn. I am a warrior. Mm-hmm. And I'm selfless and I'm willing to die for the cause. You know, so she's complete. See, and that's what's beautiful about this story. Like, you know, Maria means miracle. Right. The names that I chose were for a reason. Right. There's meaning behind them. If you look them up, Google them, you know, check them out online. But every name, there's a meaning. All right. And I did that on purpose. There's a couple of Easter eggs, so to speak, like little hidden things in the story that hopefully over time people will figure out. So
really?
I did that on purpose. Yeah, just to add more depth. So this way people just continue to go back and read it. Like, what did he say here? Why did he use this word or whatever the case may be? Yeah, dude, it's you're going deep into the rabbit hole with this one, man. So it's like I went out of my way to do that. Some people will catch it, some people won't. That's fine. But I know that it satisfied me to know. Yeah, I satisfied myself by having multiple layers.
Okay.
You know, there's a reason why I chose a word. There's a reason why I put this sentence here. There's a reason why this story went here. The reason why I flipped the name backwards and whatever. Hopefully people can figure it out. But this song right here was inspired by the riots that were happening in Ferguson at the time.
Oh, wow.
And so I just kind of looked at the news. I'm like, wow, you know, like, how can I turn this into a story? How is it inspiring me to write? Mm-hmm. And so I just looked at all the carnage that was going on and the people who felt like hopeless or just felt like their voices weren't being heard. I'm like, all right, let me bring that into the story.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and so I did that and it's like the whole world burned. I just see all stuff going on. I'm like, all right, I just got inspired to add another layer. Even though the song isn't about that, it's inspired by what I saw at the time. And now it's coming around full circle because that's what's happening now.
Right.
You know? So it's like, so she's whole world will burn. She turns into a warrior.
I'm never very good at deciphering what singers are saying. Like, not even like with heavy bands, it's hopeless. I don't understand a word. Yeah. But going through and reading along with this album because I knew it was a concept album and there's characters and stuff, I was like, okay, I'm never going to be able to sing along because I mean, you're not doing the typical rise up kind of. You know what I mean? Like almost like generically, like Josta always says, the lyric police, like kind of the generic things that metal people sing about, but.
Yeah.
The line that caught me for this one was at the end where it says, I'll kick and scream until the last of me escapes my lungs. I really like that.
Thank you, man. Just like, she's like, now she went from this, like I said, this selfish version, like self-absorbed to like, now she's willing to die for what her mother started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I will fight till I, you know, till the death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Lucinda did. So.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Okay, all right, I'm coming around. All right.
Cool, cool. Awesome.
9 behind the wall.
When I went to mother's death, my sister, I had no doubt. And I was earth the highest mountain, and back to purge him out. I put him in the earth to sleep. But in the ground, I promise. I see him screaming in my dreams, and I can't believe that a voice has perished. God, beyond the veil, beyond the sky.
Behind these walls is basically Maria just talking about she wants to go after the person who betrayed her mother. And Yuel comes in, it's like, we'll find him. Like, we'll go to, pretty much, we'll go to the end of this, ends of the earth to find who this person is, and we'll bring them to our kind of justice. Right now, Maria is angry. Yuel is angry. King of deceit, he fooled us all. A liar and a thief behind these walls. Someone has to pay. This I can't ignore. You know, someone has to pay smashing every door. And like basically, and like, and he was like, we're going to search the highest mountain, Apex, to purge him out. Like basically, we're going after this guy. And at the end of the song, you know, Yoel's saying, you know, Maria, our lives, I will protect you from this curse, the nightmare, and the dark. Our lives have just begun. And like, you know, they're like, that's a weird line. Like, what do you mean by our lives have just begun? You know, like, what does that mean? Like, mom just died. Like, what do you mean our lives have just begun? Right. You know what I mean? And there's a reason why I put that line in there. And once we get to the end of this, the last song, I'll explain that.
Okay. All right. I missed it. Then at what point did Yoel kind of turn back?
Okay. Yeah, he kind of turned back because the mother around the cause, like it happened like around the cause where she was, whatever the mother pretty much just fought for him. So some things will be more explained at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you'll see. Yeah.
I'm trying not to ask questions. I'm letting it unfold.
No. You can ask questions. I'll just let you know if it's one of those.
Speaking of moms, this is like watching a movie with my mom. Why is he doing that? Why did he do that? Why is it? Mom, I don't know. I've seen as much as you have. Shut up. Awesome. All right. So we're on the number 10 with Broken Bones. This would be the song that started this whole thing. What would you fight for? Would you plead on your shield? What is life without dying? Don't you remember? Yeah,
basically it's like she's gearing up, she's Now she's gearing everyone else up to fight. Okay, tell me what you're made of. Set it in the stone. Our backs against the wall with no one left to go. Our time is now. So she's I was kind of inspired by the movie 300. And so it's like, you know, Spartans, what is right? So she's kind of like Leonidas, right? And she's like really setting everyone up the day before battle and like letting go. And in that song, she says, what would you die for? Would you bleed on your war shield? That's completely 300. Yeah. And inspired that. And then she goes, what is life without dying? Oh, don't you remember? Have you forgotten your first love? You know what I mean? So she's like, what is life without dying? Like, you know, like, what is life without dying?
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to die to something.
Yeah.
You have to die to yourself, right? And so she's like, come on. You go, what would you die for? Like, what means, like, how much does your freedom mean to you? And I was also inspired by Braveheart as well.
I love that
movie. You know what I mean? So Maria right now is a combination of William Wallace,
and
Leonidas from 300. So that's who she's transformed into, right? And she's like just setting them up, like, come on, like, it's hear my battle cry, burn me at the stakes. Check this out. See, with that line right there, she hear my battle cry, you can give me the same death you gave my mother. I'm willing to die.
Right.
Right? It's amazing, right? Even though she saw the terror of it, she's like, sign me up.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's really awesome.
That's what inspires him to yell freedom while he's having his guts cut out.
Exactly.
Yep.
And during the clean part of that song, she goes, now here's, I remember Maria, the track Maria, she's like, I wanted all, she wanted everything. She wanted all the riches or whatever. And her mother's letting her know, when we die, we can't leave without treasure. That's what she said to her daughter in the track Maria, right? But those are the things that Maria wanted, like all the materialistic things. And when it gets to the bridge, the clean part of With Broken Bones, she's saying like, she's basically saying like, this means nothing. All the things that she chased after. What did she say? I'm trying to remember the lyrics. I'll sacrifice all my weight in gold because it can't follow me to the grave. Right? So like now she transformed this person. Like her freedom is is the most valuable thing now. Yeah, so it's, I tried to fit as much as I possibly can in, like, you know, 11 songs, you know, so I
had to cut some parts out. So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Did you write this song with the concept of an entire concept album in mind, or was so you wrote the lyrics to With Broken Bones and then built the entire story around it? How much do you go back and change the lyrics of With Broken Bones, or is this like as you wrote it?
Not at all.
Nope.
I didn't change anything. When I originally wrote that song, I was kind of done with being in a band. I was done with the music business. And that was me pretty much saying, like, if I do this, it's going to be on my terms, you know, in terms of defending my faith, defending musically the direction that I wanted to go to, the direction that I wanted to go towards. And that's exactly what I did on this record.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, this is where I want to go. You know, some people saying, why would you can't sing? Why do you want to sing? You can't sing about that. And like, if you pay attention to that, you'll end up writing for other people instead of writing for yourself to inspire other people.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going in guns blazing, take it or leave it. And so that song was originally me just standing up against really just some of the obstacles that I had being in this music industry.
Right.
You know, it's like, take it or leave it. So that was, but from that take it or leave it attitude, I built a whole story and I built a character around it.
Let's back up to something you just said. You said defending your faith. Would
I'm Christian. I'm Christian. So I know that sounds like in metal, it's like a big no-no, but like, if you approach me, like, I will never force anything down your throat.
Right.
Like, I will never force you to believe anything. We could still be friends if we disagree. And I know, like, sometimes in the past, like, you know, certain situations, people would tell me that, like, tone that down a bit, whatever. And I listen, I'm like, you know, like I said, I don't shove anything down anyone's throat, but I'm not going to hide who I am either. So it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, man, it's like, whatever. So that was just, that was one of them, like my faith, like just my, just me writing everything, just like, even just me touring, like I wanted to tour on my terms, you know what I mean? And not in a selfish point of view, but I know what I needed in regards to, you know, just to know, just to kind of move my life forward.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, you're married, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have kids?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
So yeah, that full-time van thing ain't gonna work out.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, man. And like, that's what I'm saying, man. It's literally just one of those things where, you kind of just like, all right, dude, it's time. You know, and once again, I'm thinking about my my mother and all the values that she pressed up, you know, that she like poured into my heart.
Yeah.
Like, perfect. You know what I mean? I do not walk around like that. In fact, I've messed up more than anyone, I feel like.
Okay, you know? Well, wait a minute. You're not perfect.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes people, I just have to reiterate and say that. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people think they're coming off like that. I'm like, far from it, dude. Like,
right.
I mess up like anyone else, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, dude. There you have it. With Broken Bones.
How old are your kids?
My kids are 20, he's 20. He's actually 22. I had him when I was 20.
Okay.
Yeah. I had him when I was 20. Yeah. And like, and it was just been great. Just kind of just like, showing him like music, listening to jazz, like, while we're sitting at the table and stuff like that, just really poured a lot of music, into his lifestyle, showing him the Michael Jackson Thriller record and all the things that I could. Yeah. Like all that stuff. You know what I mean?
The classics never go out of style. I hope it turns for me, man. I've been on this podcast. I've been doing this podcast for 2 years, and most of the time I'm bitching that my kids are like, I have what I consider to be just genius. I'm surrounded by genius music, right? Because what I like, because again, everybody's right?
Yeah,
my kids listen to like the dumbest shit that's on the radio. And I'm like, they're going to turn one of these days. My daughter's going to like, ask me to put the Clash back on our iPod or something like that. You know what I mean? and it hasn't happened yet. I'm holding that candle, dude.
Yeah, you're funny.
All right, let's get back on the rails here. Number 11.
In 10,000 tears, that's when they're going up, they're running up the Empire State Building, and it's happening. It's going down. She's running to the throne. She's leading up an army of people, thousands up the Empire State Building, and the battle's happening. You know what I mean? Like the Battle of the 300, right? The battle's happening and completely running up the stairs, just fighting people. Some of them are dying, and she's just running up. She's about to meet this king face to face, and she wants to destroy him. And some of her people are dying; they're killing people, whatnot. And she's like, "All right, find my brother," because she's telling people who are part of her army, "Find my brother. You know, we're approaching that the top of the Empire State Building."
Mm-hmm.
It starts to get interesting because there's one more song after this.
Yeah, this is the end of the movie, man. We're galloping towards
So she finally gets up to the top, and then they're like, "All right, here's my moment," and it's happening. One more song left. Here we go. Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
You want to go to that next one?
Okay. Yeah. Because that's pretty much it. This is where the battle's happening, and she's leading them on. This is for those of us who have fallen, we're fighting for them. You know. So even while she's going up the stairs, she's thinking about her mom. That's what's driving her. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what's driving her, and she's yeah.
She's gonna have to be driven by something to go. Isn't it like a?
Of course.
It's like 100 and some stories high, man.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you gotta be driven by something.
Where Hollywood would ruin your movie would be she'd take the elevator.
Exactly.
And then you'd have to have that moment of the elevator music when she gets up to the top.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when it get ruined for sure.
That old gag.
Right.
All right, let's conclude this, man. Track number 12, Servitude.
Track number 2 Servitude. She gets to the top, and so she says, "So we finally meet, destroyer of bones, the moment I waited for. The last thing you will see is a hole." And and then he's like, "Who are you to speak to a universe?" And so now, with that line, you realize this guy isn't human. Who are you to speak to a universe? So you realize there's something a little strange. That's a strange, what human says that, right?
Right.
And then as the dialogue is happening, right? He goes, "I have someone I want to introduce to you." So out from behind the throne is her brother, Yuel, comes from behind the throne. And pretty much she's like, "Well, what are you doing here?" Right? And and Maria's like, "Why haven't you taken him out?" And Yuel's like, "There's something I need to tell you. I'm the reason why Mother burned alive. She was the wall in between us. Can you feel it too? I'm in love with you." So at the end of the story, you find out that Yuel betrayed his mother. Remember, the favorite son betrayed the mother because he was in love with his sister. So completely, and it's like completely like what? And then so and now you need to find out, like, huh, is is he still brainwashed or is he not brainwashed? You don't completely know, right? And so then, and then Maria's like, don't speak, don't say another word. How could you? She loved us more than we deserved. Well, you've lost your mind. This king of death will taste my knife. So as she goes to attack, because she can't even deal right now,
right,
with what she just heard, that the reason for her mother's death is because of her brother, she goes to take Orin. That's the character's name.
Yes.
Orin. He finally reveals his name. He says it's Orin is my chosen name. Once again, you find little hints that this guy may not be human. So as she goes to and take him out, so to speak, he says, what do you say? Orin is my chosen name. I'll build a new throne inside of your brother's mouth. So basically what starts to happen is he's like, all right, you can take the throne from atop the Empire State Building, but try to take the throne that I'm building inside your brother. So he, in a sense, he evaporates into her brother's mouth and sets up a throne inside of him. And then he says, now try to stab the two of us. Oh yeah, it's crazy.
To be continued.
Yeah, and it's to be continued. So now she's left with, here's this guy that she wants to kill, the one that she's clearly angry at, her brother, and now that the two are one. And that's where the story is left off.
Are you hinting that there's gonna be another album?
I'm definitely hinting at that. I already started working on it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And I've already started working on it, and so the guys as well, and just the story, just writing little ideas in regards to the title, and in regards to the storyline and little things here and there, and some of the music, trying to figure out how the music's going to go, because we want to push the boundaries, again.
Yep. Is there any significance to Orin's name? Is that? Are you flipping that with Nero?
Yep, yes I am. Absolutely. So I had to find those. Now the correlation between the burning, right? Burning people alive.
Right. Like, yeah. He would dip captives in oil to light his his hallways or something garden. Crazy like that.
Yeah, garden. While he ate. Right. So it's exactly, that's dark. Right. So so now you see I'm pulling from everywhere. Right. And so now hopefully next time you listen to the record, you'll have a better idea of what's going on.
Yeah. Thanks for stepping me through that, because now I'm honestly, I love Candiria. Mm-hmm. I bought the new mm-hmm. album. I bought the vinyl. I got mm-hmm. the veil.
Yeah.
The vinyl one that's kind of light purpley kind of.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's beautiful looking, awesome. Yeah. Marble eyeball, and I'm reading the lyrics and I'm just like, I don't know, dude, because vague isn't the word, vague doesn't do it justice, but there's lyrics where the whole like for instance with Broken Bones, very very rise up, rise against mm-hmm. kind of vibe,
without the cheesy way of saying it.
Without the cheesy way of using the rise up lyrics.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
With the four China symbols.
Yeah, with the breakdown.
And then in 10,000 years, it gets as, is it 10,000 years?
10,000
years. Yeah. It gets as 10,000 tears. I keep saying that. 10,000 tears. It gets as specific as the throne resides in the secret 103rd top floor. And I'm like, geez, it's like a map. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, because you want to see, that's the trick, that you want to be able to write a concept album, of course, that explains the story, but at the same time you want it to kind of still be, you can still listen to it as a regular song. I think that's the challenge that I had, and I think I did a good job of just kind of putting enough of the story in there that you could get an idea what's going on, but at the same time if you hear the song out of order, it's still cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good on you. Because you're gonna have people who have a favorite song.
Yeah.
If they just want to, I don't know, if they want to add one song to a playlist, they don't want it to have to be so disjointed and have the lyrics not make sense, and it's like ripping a chapter out of a book. This is my favorite chapter.
Yeah,
I'm taking this.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is interesting to tie it together as music, because It has to represent Candiria. It has to represent the flow. It has to represent two new members. Like, yeah, like a lot had to come together for this to work.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually spent a year writing the story, and I wrote it in a library, in the biggest library in Brooklyn, because I just needed to completely focus and be inspired by the other people around me who are like reading books or working on their laptops, right? And right. I'm pretty much writing a short story. So it's like I wanted to be surrounded by books, and I was able to focus, spending literally like hours like tweaking ideas and like writing a certain part of the story, then getting rid of it, keeping it, tweaking it. It was a lot of work.
Were you feeling the vibe? Like, were you totally getting the energy with the whole like, this is where I'm supposed to be writing this kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing it for the next record. I remember talking to Jamie about it. Jamie Johnston, he's like, you know what? I think I might try the same thing, because it just allowed me to just focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. If you're in New York, start checking your libraries, Carly, behind a pile of books.
I'm making libraries great again, right?
For crying out loud. No, he didn't. Red hat. Get your red hats on tour.
You're going to make libraries great
again. Oh, boy. I just said that in my mouth.
Oh, man.
Man, Carly, where else do we have to go to talk about this album? Thank you so much for being so exhaustive with it and going track by track. Just came off tour, and you're probably still rubbing your eyes. Like, I just want to go back to bed. But, I mean, dude, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm exhausted, but I tried my best to keep my word. So, like, that's why I wanted to. I'm like, you know, I was so tired. I'm like, you know what? I told them I would do it today. I'm going to do it today. Let me just see if I can move certain things around. So
Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.